Good morning, church. Yes, I did have someone ask me this morning if I was preaching, going to a wedding, or to a funeral. To which I responded, well, I do happen to be preaching. I'm speaking about marriage, and as for the funeral, we'll see how this goes. Most of you know me, know that public speaking is not really my happy place, but I would like to say I am grateful for the opportunity to be a part of this series, Faithful Love, and specifically this morning speaking about keeping the vow. Please forgive me for my AV skills. I knew trying to work with slides and a clicker was probably well out of my bandwidth for this, so we'll just have to go a little bit old school, and you just have to listen. Of course, if I was really going old school, I would swap the iPad out for a Bible, and I would have a tie on, that's a little shout out to all of you that are 50 and older. So, and I am very thankful that we got the air conditioning fixed, or you might have seen me up here in shorts and a t-shirt. But, Father, we are, let's pray first, please. Father, we are so thankful for the gift and blessing of marriage, for the covenant promise many of us here have made. And Father, we are so thankful for all of the promises you have made over the course of time and for your complete faithfulness to keep all of your promises, because we know your character doesn't know any other way. Father, please watch over my words this morning. May they touch our hearts, be in alignment with your will, and may they honor you in your son's name. Amen. Before I begin, I want to acknowledge that not everyone here is married. Some have never married. Some would like to be married, but haven't found the right person. Some have experienced the pain of divorce. Some have lost a spouse. And some have chosen a life of singleness. While this morning we are talking about marriage, my hope is that all of us can learn something about faithfulness, commitment, grace, and keeping our word, qualities that matter in every Christian relationship. Now I'd like to talk a little bit about my family history. My grandparents on dad's side were married 70 plus years. Grandparents on my mom's side were married 50 plus years. Now their marriages were quite different. But one thing was the same. When the chips were down, as they say, they would have done anything for each other. My mom and dad have been married 50 plus years, and it gives me such pleasure to watch how they still continue to graciously take care of each other. Kristen's parents went through a divorce right when she went off to college. It was mostly amicable, but it was still hard for Kristen and her younger brother, Bill. Kristen and I just celebrated 34 years yesterday. Some in this room may say we're just warming up. I was blessed to grow up in the church and at a congregation that was filled with lifelong faithful marriages. I'm certainly not naive to think that this is everyone's experience, but I am certainly thankful for my experience. And therefore, it is the lens through which I predominantly see marriage. Now, let's turn to this room. So, participation here. By show of hands, how many here this morning have been or were married 30 plus years? It's okay to ask your spouse if you should raise your hand or not. That's amazing. Okay, how about 40 plus years? Okay, still a lot of hands. 50 years. Wow. That's really wonderful. Anyone lay claim to 60? Oh my goodness. Wow. Okay, that's amazing. I know there's a gentleman here, and I won't say 70 because there's a gentleman here who can lay claim to 70 plus years. Kitty Hessen, who just recently passed away, was married to our brother Dwight for 74 years. I believe they got married in 1951. They were both students at Harding University. I remember, like it was almost yesterday, sitting with Dwight and Kitty a couple years back. I think it was me and Jay and Doug were sitting in their living room talking with them. Such a blessing. And they just truly had just become an extension of each other. It was just so wonderful. Now, those of you that are much younger are maybe wondering, how in the world is that even possible? I would say just go ask one of those people that just had their hands raised. I'm sure, I'm all but certain, they would be more than happy to share a cup of coffee, tell their story, their struggles, and give some advice. We are very blessed here at Northeast with an abundance of long and faithful marriages. I can also guarantee that none of them were perfect. All of them experienced tough times, loss, miracles, and blessings along the way. I want to read from Genesis 2:24. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. I can still remember standing at the front of the church on our wedding day. Like most young couples, I understood the words I was saying, but I really didn't understand everything those words would require. I had no idea what the next 34 years would bring. I didn't know the joys, disappointments, financial pressures, health concerns, family challenges, or unexpected turns that would come. But that's exactly why vows matter. We make them before we know what lies ahead. Those first few years, everything is new. Dreams are big. The future is wide open. Marriage is also adjustment. Two people, two families, two sets of expectations, one home. Now, a quick disclaimer. I'm going to throw out several real-life scenarios, and while some of them are true for Kristen and I, some of them I have thrown in from stories I have heard. But I'm hoping that all of you can relate to at least some of them. So, your first apartment or house, when you realize that all of your exquisite vintage decor, otherwise known as stuff, from your past is not going to make the cut for your new together home. I think we can all think back about that. Or, hey, I had no idea someone could snore that loud. Or, hey, that's really not the way you should load a dishwasher. Or maybe your four-course dinner consists of water, carrots, hot dogs with mac and cheese, and top it off with a cookie. For sure, the upside is almost every night feels and seems like date night. Marriage is a partnership, learning to both pull in the same direction. I found a verse, Amos 3:3. Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Marriage is sacrifice. You begin realizing marriage isn't about getting your way. Marriage is forgiveness. Sooner or later, and often, spouse says something stupid, forgets something important, or hurts the other's feelings. Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Let's finish the verse. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. One thing I've learned over the years is that marriage at 34 doesn't look much like marriage at year one. When you're young, love is often measured by feelings. As the years go by, love becomes more visible in sacrifice, patience, forgiveness, and simply showing up every day. You likely acquire a mortgage, car payments, health insurance, possibly daycare, doctor visits, career changes, and of course, streaming and Wi-Fi subscriptions. You all also have some dramatic moments, perhaps the birth of a child, and then your lives really change forever. Perhaps because of that, an emergency trip to Children's Hospital. Many birthdays, anniversary celebrations, family vacations, and hopefully the blessing of baptizing your child. Marriage is teamwork. You're no longer simply building a life, you're raising one. Marriage is also exhaustion. There are seasons when just survival feels like success. Many couples discover that keeping the vow during these years often means simply refusing to quit. I've learned that some of the greatest expressions of love are not the dramatic moments. They are the ordinary facts, acts of faithfulness repeated over thousands of days. Now, thousands of days, that may seem overly dramatic, but let's think about that. In my case, 34 years. My humble landscaper math says that's 12,410 days. So yes, thousands. Double that and you're almost in Dwight Hessen territory. Marriage is choosing love when feelings are weak. The vow wasn't just for the easy days. Just about anyone can stay married when life is good. The vow really matters when life isn't easy. When you experience the sudden loss of a job and bills begin to pile up, or when a teenager, well, acts like a teenager. Maybe your spouse decides to start a new business. When a family member goes through cancer, or when you go through losing a family member. I've talked with enough couples over the years to know they all have stories. They have all faced disappointments, misunderstandings, hardships, and seasons, not just days, seasons, when things weren't easy. The difference is they kept the vow. They stayed at the table. They kept working. They kept forgiving. They kept choosing each other. And nobody gets to 50 years without giving and receiving a lot of grace. Ecclesiastes 5, 4 through 5. When you're making a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better not to vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it. Ephesians 4, 2 through 3. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Marriage is friendship. Many couples discover that friendship becomes one of God's greatest gifts in marriage. After the children leave, careers slow down. What remains is friendship. Maybe even get to go on an epic 70-day road trip or play in a local community band together. Marriage is a shared history. Nobody else remembers all the stories. Nobody else knows the victories, the losses, prayers, tears, and blessings quite like your spouse. Marriage is companionship. Empty nesting is wonderful. God knew that once you reach this age, you were no longer have the ability to lug around a pack and play, a diaper bag, toys, lunch, and a toddler. Or to continue to get down on the floor and play with them. Getting down on the floor is one thing, getting back up, something different. What God also knew is grandparents. You have an abundance of joy, patience, wisdom, and love to give to every grandchild that comes along. Marriage is faithfulness, not perfection, not luck, it's faithfulness. Marriage is also a testimony. To those of us who have been married 40, 50, or 60 years, thank you. You may not realize it, but you are teaching the rest of us every week. You remind us that commitment is possible. You remind us that covenant still matters. You remind us that God's design for marriage still works. Your marriages are not just personal victories. They are testimonies to your children, your grandchildren, to this congregation, and to the faithfulness of God. As I mentioned at the beginning, this series is about faithful love, and today specifically about keeping the vow. At the same time, I recognize that we live in a fallen world, and we are imperfect people. Life can take unexpected turns. We are blessed with free will and therefore make our own choices. Relationships can be wounded. Sometimes marriages end in divorce. While divorce may be part of someone's story, it does not have to define the rest of their story. If that is part of your story, I would like you to know that God's grace is greater than our failures. It's greater than our hurts. Divorce is not the end of your usefulness to God. Nor does it place you beyond his love, his purpose, or his ability to work through your life. Throughout Scripture, we see, Jay and I taught a class last fall. Through Scripture, we see God taking broken situations and redeeming them for his glory and for our good. We also recognize that marriage is not God's plan for everyone. Scripture honors both marriage and singleness, and the kingdom of God is strengthened by faithful Christians in every season of life. But if you are struggling in your marriage or in an important relationship right now, please don't struggle alone. Reach out to one of the shepherds or ministers. We care about you, we want to walk alongside you, and we want to help. Now let's close up and to the right. Marriage is excitement, discovery, sacrifice, forgiveness, teamwork, perseverance, grace, friendship, companionship, and faithfulness. And through every season, marriage is keeping the vow. I want to close in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. The reason we keep our vows is because we serve a God who always keeps his. I thank you for your presence here this morning. To God be the glory.
Good morning, Northeast Church of Christ. Aren't you glad you're a Christian? Rob, aren't you glad you're done? I want to start off by saying thank you to Noah for inviting us to take part in this. It's humbling and honoring. This is the first time I've actually preached as an elder. So I went old school. Thanks, Rob. I don't have a tablet. How did we get here? Why are Rob Brown and Rob Rice speaking to you about marriage? First of all, oddly enough, Jennifer and I are also celebrating 34 years of marriage. We've got the Browns by about 2 months, a month. How did we get here? Last year, the elders decided that one of our main focuses in 2026 and 2027 would be finding ways to strengthen the marriages in our Northeast family. There are several reasons why we decided this would be one of our main goals and focuses. Overall health of a church is demonstrated best by strong, healthy families. And one of the building blocks for healthy families is strong, Christian-centered husbands and wives. And we looked and said, you know, we can all work on that. It's not to say that it's a requirement that you be a married person to be a strong and growing Christian. Rob spoke to it. I know it's confusing. Rob B spoke to it. Rob R is going to speak to it as well. We all have different paths that have brought us to the point we're at today. You may be single by choice or single by circumstance. You may be in a phenomenal marriage. You may be in one that is struggling just to keep above water. Whether your marriage or lack of marriage is struggling, strong, flourishing, wherever you are in your walk right now, we want you to know the grace of God covers us all. None of us are perfect. Thankfully, none of us are perfect because, wow, I can't attain to that. I will go out on a limb and say that the best marriages that we know of are not perfect at all. But for this series, we're going to concentrate. We're looking at marriage. So please bear with me as we do this. Time limits keep me from discussing all the possible ways that we got where we are, each of us got where we are. But I can share my family story and hopefully encourage you in your walk. So back to our focus on building stronger marriages. Jen and I have long been fans of marriage seminars. We did His Needs, Her Needs, way, way, way back in the 90s. We liked it so much, we did it twice. So I think that was mostly my fault that we had to do it twice. More recently, we've been following Trey and Lee Morgan and their Stronger Marriage workshops and podcast. Most of what I'm going to speak about today comes from the Morgan's books, 10 Ways to a Stronger Marriage. Please remember that. We're going to talk about it here. I can't believe that stayed up. We'll be co-teaching a class, Jennifer and I will be, this fall with Jay and Pam Headley. Coming out of this book, there will be more details coming soon, but it will be a married couples class that will be built on, guess what, 10 ways to build a stronger marriage. So please be looking for that, and I'll give you more information later. We're also bringing Trey and Lee to Northeast. This is where it gets crazy. They are so popular right now, they only do about one seminar a month because Trey is actually one of the pulpit ministers at Sunset Church of Christ in Lubbock, Texas. That being said, we're not on their schedule till 2029. So we're on the cancellation list, so be saying prayers about that. But we're going to bring them in because, as I stated at the beginning, marriages are important to our family, and we want to do everything we can to build up the marriages that are here and to build up future marriages that will be taking place here. So as I mentioned, we all come to where we are in our walk with God from a multitude of directions. I will guarantee you there's not one of us here who are sitting in this pew who even came to church in the same direction today, much less got where we are in our walk with God in the same direction. Some of you are brand new. Some of you are visiting for the first time, possibly. Some of you are brand new seekers of Christ. Some of us are lifelong followers, even though we took different roads along the way, and some of those roads went well outside of the lines of what some of you would feel like were the right road. So there's a lot of grace to be had there, too. But this is also true for how those of us who are married came into our marriage relationships, and how Jennifer and I came to 34 years 1 month, and how Rob and Kristen came to 34 years and 1 day. Jen and I came from very different family backgrounds. I don't know how many of you I've shared this with, but Jen comes from what I would always consider, I think most of the world would consider I'm going to use the word perfect loosely, a perfect Christian family. Mom and Dad married for 40 years until Dad passed away. Both parents, strong Christians who were completely devoted to one another. If you think about those couples that you're watching and you think, I wish I could be like them. For me, that was Jim and Joyce Trimmer. Just the Brady Bunch of Christian families. I loved it. Just coming into that family and seeing this. Their marriage was storybook in my eyes. Married for 44 years. It was amazing. They raised up 3 strong Christian children who all loved and honored their parents. Who can say that? It's amazing when you look at it. No, it was not a perfect marriage, and they were not perfect parents. I know this. I've lived with Jennifer for many, many, many years now. And I know what we see from the outside as the world is not what always happens in the family. But they were amazing. And to me, the sun rose and set on their marriage. I was in awe of their marriage. I didn't have that growing up. My mom and dad married very young. They loved me and my 2 brothers immensely. I know that, and I still know that. They're both still with us. But they struggled for 38 years of marriage before it finally self-destructed and fell apart. They fought constantly and finally divorced when I was 33 years old. There was unfaithfulness. There was anger. I grew up thinking my parents were going to blow up and divorce at any moment. There was a lot of ugly. There was mental illness. It was a terrible, terrible marriage. The funny thing was, very few people outside of my family, my little family of 5, knew what was going on. My brothers and I all saw it. My family members around us saw it. There was divorce in our family all around, on both sides. But very few people outside of our immediate family knew of our struggles, of their struggles. In fact, our house was the house all the other kids wanted to come to because we were loved. We were like a lot of families at churches everywhere. When the doors opened, the Rice family was there. There was no option. You could be bleeding out your eyeballs and you'd be sitting on the fourth row at the 10th Avenue Church of Christ. Don't snivel. Don't cry about it. Worship God. We were there. We were there. My father was actually a deacon for a time before their marriage made that impossible, before his struggles made that impossible. It was almost, this is going to be a sad thing to say, it was almost a relief to me and my brothers when my parents finally divorced. It's not what we wanted. But it was inevitable their whole lives. As my parents were ending their marriage, Jennifer and I were starting our family. I wanted so badly to have a marriage like her parents had, and nothing like the marriage my parents had. Now, 34 years later, I can honestly say that God had his hand in our marriage all along the way, from a loving example I had as a father-in-law and Jim Trimmer, who truly loved and was devoted to his wife and modeled it every day, to my own wife, Jennifer, that I know prayed harder for me than anyone had ever prayed for me in my life. I was blessed. From this journey, I've learned so much. There is so much that I've learned. I'd like to give you a quote from Trey and Lee Morgan's social media page. There are no perfect husbands, wives, or marriages. But if you keep believing in one another, keep fighting for a good marriage, keep forgiving one another, keep spending time together and never give up, there will be plenty of perfect moments in your marriage. And that gets me to the takeaways I'd like to give you from the book that we'll be teaching on in October again, 10 Ways to a Stronger Marriage. There are great strategies in this book for handling the difficulties and challenges as well as building those blessings that make our relationships and our marriages stronger and stronger. So the first one I want to share with you is keep paddling. Have you ever been in a canoe or a kayak? Yes. And you know what happens? What happens if you start paddling the different direction than your partner in that canoe? Yeah, it doesn't end well, does it? You don't get where you're going. You just don't get where you're going. Keep paddling. Marriages will hit rough water, guaranteed. Every one of them will, and Rob spoke to it too, will hit rough times, whether it's struggles with money, differences of opinion, what to watch on TV, what to have for dinner, burned or unburned, something much harder. Tough times will come. I was the one who burned things. But they will also go. Please hear that again. Tough times will come, but they will go. Not to mention what happens if and when children come into the picture. The world changes, as we know if you've had children. The fact that two people from two different backgrounds unite as one mean there will be struggles. It is how we handle the bumps in the road that make the trip smooth. We're all going to have those bumps. It's how we handle those that makes the trip much smoother and enjoyable. We live in a throwaway society, don't we? How many of you have the first cell phone that you ever bought? Not have, like in a drawer, I've got that. How many of you are still using it? We don't. How many of you have the first vacuum cleaner, the first car, the first pair of shoes? We live it up and throw it out. It's what we do as a society. In fact, I was talking to a guy whose dad was a TV repairman. You don't see TV repairmen anymore. Why? I went down to Walmart and bought a 79-foot TV for $12. Why would I spend $200 getting a tube fixed? There are no tubes. TV's that thin. We live in a throwaway society. But please hear this. Our marriages are not throwaway. We should never treat, unfortunately, some of us treat relationships that way, don't we? Well, we're friends until we're not friends. Well, we're married until we're not married. Keeping the vow means our marriages are not throwaway. They're not disposable. But Satan would love us to think they are, wouldn't he? John 10:10 tells us the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's not just our faith that he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's our marriages. That's our vows. That's our promises. And Satan lives for that. Why does he live for that? Because he's a liar. I know, you're not supposed to say lie. As John 8:44 says, when he lies, he speaks his native language because he is the father of lies. So keep fighting. Keep fighting. Our marriages are worth the fight to keep the vow. Another great way to bless our marriages is to fight the tendency toward complacency. One of those ways to do that, the best way we have found, and the book talks about, and I think you'd get agreement everywhere, is to keep chasing. Keep chasing. What does that mean? Do you remember when you first met your spouse, for those of us who are married? Do you remember that moment? That spark? I remember the exact spot I was standing when Jennifer came up and started flirting with me. I remember it. She did. Why is that surprising? I had hair and a really cheesy mustache. But I remember that moment. And I actually went back to that spot 2 years ago when I was at the college that we met at in Portland, Oregon. It was right here. And the kid in the hallway was going, so? I remember distinctly, I did everything I could to impress you. Men, did you do everything you could to impress that young lady? We probably smelled better than we smelled the rest of the week when we went out on that date. Can't vouch for everyone. Ladies, what did you do to make sure that guy stayed interested in you? I know I worked pretty hard to keep the prettiest girl in the world interested in me. At times I was over the top. Imagine that. Our first phone call lasted more than 2 hours. I think I fell asleep on the phone. Didn't matter. I was talking to Jennifer. I just wanted to stay on the phone with her. And I want you to stop thinking, I know everybody's a big surprise, Rob talked for 2 hours. I listened a lot because I was already in love with this girl. I was already in love with this girl. I never ran out of things to say, even when they were silly, and there were plenty of silly. I picked clothes and aftershave based on what I thought she would like. I made her brother smell me. He lived across the hall from me in the dorms. I said, Brian, do you think your sister would like this? He's like, get out of my room. But we worked at it. All of these things we did to extreme to impress the one we love. I found out years later she was trying pretty hard to impress me too. That surprised me, honestly. I just thought she was naturally that beautiful. I still remember exactly what she wore on our first date. I did miss the color. I talked to her about it last night. She goes, I'm colorblind. I remember the sweater. I remember the outfit. What we did and you do, why did we do those things? I love to quote the great American poet, Peter Cetera. The old people just got that. We did it all, sing it with me, for the glory of love. Why did we stop? My grandparents, my dad's mom and dad, were married for more than 50 years. None of those years were easy. I've got a picture of the Model A that they drove from Arkansas to California in with all the kids and everything they owned. It wasn't Grapes of Wrath. It was after the Grapes of Wrath. They were late. None of those years were easy, and I rarely saw them show any affection to one another. Why? That wasn't how they showed their love to one another. That wasn't who they were. They loved each other dearly. They stayed married for 50-plus years until Grandpa passed away. I remember at their 50th anniversary celebration, my grandpa was directed to kiss his bride for a photo. My grandpa looked a lot like Herman Munster. And he's standing there in his suit like he was about to have a root canal. It wasn't because he didn't love her. It was because that wasn't what he did. He wasn't into lovey-dovey stuff. He lived by the mantra of, you know, I told you I loved you when we got married, and if I change my mind, I'll let you know. But the example that my father grew up with was no affection shown. How can we do better? How can we do better? One of the keys to a great marriage is keep chasing each other. What does that look like? Date. Folks, we need to keep dating when we're married. That's one of the things that Jennifer and I really enjoy. Once or twice a month, I recommend once a week if you can, do something. Set aside a night for just you two. Yes, parents with small children. That is either going to cost a babysitter or get in a co-op. Trade babysitting with another couple. Say, we'll do Thursday night if you want to do Saturday night, and trade off. But there are cheap and free things you can do. Jennifer and I love going to antique malls. I know we're old. We find all our toys at the antique mall. But we love that because it's together time. Make a meal together. Go to McDonald's and get Happy Meals if that's what it is. Go to a movie, but keep dating. What got you there in the first place will keep you there now. Keep it up. Don't just send flowers on Valentine's or anniversaries. Do it for no reason. Put a note in a suitcase or in a bag for someone who's leaving. Just a little love letter that they'll find later. Write notes to each other in a steamy mirror so that they find it when they get out of the shower. We're staying PG. They find them later. Send sweet texts. I can't say those two words together. Small acts of kindness. Fix their coffee in the morning. One of the jokes we have is I'm the barista on the road. I'll go into Love's and I'll doctor up coffee for Jennifer because I know she doesn't always like Love's black coffee. So I make it sweetened up for her. That's one of the things we do. Buy their favorite candy. Know what their favorite candy is. Say thank you. Give genuine compliments often and publicly on that one. Never stop chasing. Keep the first things first. Sometimes we let everything else get in line in front of our marriage, don't we? Work, hobbies, school functions, and sports. That's a hurtful one. Children, both their care and their activities, and church functions. Yes, I just said, don't let kids and church functions get in front of your devotion and your vow to your wife. By that, I mean, don't ignore them, but know what is best. The best thing your children can see from you is you loving their mommy or their daddy with every bit of your heart. That doesn't go away. That doesn't go away. Keep first things first. Ephesians 5, as we read last week, God wants us to show love to our spouse in front of people. There's a reason that the relationship of Christ and the church is compared with that of a husband and wife. Not only that, but it's a fantastic way to show Christ to the world. How many people who visit our guests here at the church do you think would come back if they saw really bad marriages all around them? But how many people, and I know we've got people sitting here today who are here because they saw loving relationships and great families at Northeast. Happy and healthy marriages, and people who are working on their marriages and keeping their vow drive that. Love your spouse like Christ loved the church. Healthy marriages are vital to growing Northeast Church of Christ. To make all this happen, we need to prioritize our marriage. If your whole goal is to be the best husband or wife you can be, your marriage will be blessed and be stronger. So in closing, allow me to give you the three takeaways again. Keep paddling. When things get rough, dig in and do what you have to do to strengthen your marriage. Counseling, seminars, asking a friend for prayer, getting together with the elders, whatever needs to be done, reading books, do it. Keep chasing. Don't settle. Keep pursuing your spouse like you are winning them over for the first time. Give that a try and see what happens, folks. I guarantee you it will be good. And then keep first things first. Make each other the top priority in our relationships. Your children, church family, and all those who know you will be blessed by the example of you keeping the vow. If you need any help, if your marriage is happy, if your marriage is struggling, if you're not married, if you're single, if there is something on your heart today, as we always say, we have elders who are willing to sit down and pray with you privately in the room off to my right. You'll find it. We'll help you get there. But please, while we're singing, after the services, whenever you want, find one of the shepherds, find one of the ministers, or just meet us in the room, and we will pray with you over whatever you need to pray about. But thank you so much for being here this morning. And please, let's remember, we want to keep the vow.